Good morning, everybody. My name is Mitch Young. I'm the student minister here at Outlook Christian Church. And it wasn't until this morning that I actually caught that Aaron was mentioning the whole armpit height. And in our student ministry, I'm like the only person that makes her armpit height. So I don't know what she's saying. Maybe I'm the stinky one in the ministry. I hope not. I hope there's other people, but that's just how that goes. If you serve in Outlook Student Ministries, thank you. I appreciate your heart and how you have an answer for the hope you have in Jesus Christ. But sponsors aren't the only people that serve here. There's also people behind the scenes. There's also people that help teach our kids. There's a reason why you're sitting here, that there are other people that are teaching your kids what Jesus desires for them to know. And so just to start out, more than anything else, I just think we need to thank them. So if you'll just give them a round of applause, I think that's only appropriate. In the video, Zach mentioned that students ask great questions. And they don't just come on a Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And they don't just come on a Sunday night from 6 to 8 p.m. If you're a sponsor, if you're a parent, you know that questions come at any and every opportunity. And it's never when you really want them to come. You're usually on your way to something. You usually have something bigger going on. For example, yesterday, my daughter asked me this question, and we're just tying everybody's shoes together, trying to just get on with our day, and she just stops, looks up at me, "Dad, of all three of us kids, who do you love the most?" Okay, I mean, you know, if you're a parent, that's awkward, right? And I just simply looked at her, collected myself, and knowing that she's listening, but also my two sons are listening, I simply say, "Eliana, it's not that I love you more or love one of your brothers more than the other, but what I try to do is I try to love you perfectly, just as God desires to love and show us his love perfectly as his creation." Questions come at so many different times. And it's those questions that make us stop and see what we need to be doing as a follower of Jesus. And for me, that lesson was difficult to learn, and I learned it a few years ago. Yay, words this morning. Good. When I graduated from Wheaton College with my master's in clinical psychology, I started out in just the psychology field. And if you start out, and if you know anything about psychology, you know that it is not exactly lucrative right off the bat. I was working at an agency, and all I was responsible for was checking in on students who had been abused or neglected, but they hadn't necessarily been removed from the home. And so I needed to check in on them in the afternoon or in the evening when they were actually home with their caregivers. I couldn't just go during school during normal 9-to-5 hours. Now, during those 9-to-5s, I still had paperwork. I still had reports to write. But those evenings, those afternoons were really taxing. And on those evenings and afternoons when I wasn't visiting students, I was also counseling on the side. Now, this agency and this counseling practice, they were incredible people. They were great people. They were good people. They honored Christ. But the thing about this situation is, while I was doing good stuff, I wasn't recognizing the great blessing that God had blessed me with my family. While I was working, I'd come home, and my wife and my kids would experience nothing but a shell of a husband and a father. During this chaos, Kristen and I remained volunteers at our local church's youth ministry at the time. And it wasn't until we went on one of our annual winter retreats where I was able to actually stop and see that what I was doing wasn't sustainable. It was at that time where I realized that I was not stepping up and serving the family Christ had blessed me with. I had other things. I had other responsibilities. I was going places. But I had to stop and see that what I was doing wasn't sustainable. So this morning, I want us to consider those two objectives. The first is that we stop and see what Christ is doing within his followers. And the second is that we will step up and serve those Christ has placed in our midst. It is so easy to fall into the trap of busyness. And as a result, we find that those who are most important to us receive the least time and attention from us. But But when we stop and live the life that Christ modeled for us, we see where we need to step up and serve the prioritized needs of those around us. And ultimately, we are able to celebrate God's goodness in the midst of whatever we're experiencing, whether that's fear, pain, or suffering. If you grabbed a Bible from the carts, or if you brought your own, I would encourage you to turn to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be in Mark 5, and in the Bibles from the carts, that's page 685. Now, Mark is one of the first four Gospels that starts the New Testament, and it's actually the shortest. And the reason why I'm referencing that it's the shortest is that the story we're going to be talking about this morning is actually also found in Matthew 9, but it's also found in Luke 8. But while those Gospels are longer, Mark is the Gospel that actually expands upon it. And I think that's important for us to know because Mark's big message about Jesus is that he, as the Son of God, came to serve. So with that in mind, let's see what Mark has to say as we start in verse 25 and 26. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Now this woman is suffering from a chronic internal bleeding. This could be from a tumor or another illness. And this left her ceremonially unclean. If your Bible doesn't have a note at the bottom of the page or in the middle section of the page, I would just encourage you to take your pen and write Leviticus 15, 25 through 27. You are allowed to take a pen. You are allowed to write in your Bibles. It is allowed. It's not against the law. But Leviticus 15, 25 through 27, it describes this element that it's not just about being sick, but that there's a ceremonial uncleanliness aspect to it. It meant that she was shunned and disconnected from everyone. She couldn't have contact with her family. By law, she was to be divorced from her husband. She wasn't allowed to live in her own home. She wasn't to have contact with old friends. And she was excluded from communal gatherings and synagogues and was banned from entering the women's court in the temple. See, it was common for people to meet up with multiple doctors and receive a variety of treatments. And now she was broke because of all of these treatments. Oftentimes, cures were conflicting, sometimes abusive, and in other cases, made the issue even worse. In his commentary of the Gospel of Mark, Christian author and songwriter Michael Card states one such cure was for a person to dig out an oak grain from cow dung and swallow that. Now, let's just go ahead and stop a second and say, that's just disgusting. On one hand, that is absolutely gross. But when we look at Luke 8:43, Luke, being a physician, he said that this woman's illness was incurable. Yeah, disgusting. But on the other hand, if you had something incurable, how crazy would you be? What would you be willing to try to find a cure? Is it really unthinkable to think that this woman would try anything to cure her illness? Check out how she reacts in verse 27 and 28. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. This woman's faith was strong. She was confident in the what, the hope of Christ's ability to heal her, but she guessed as to the how. Does this woman sound like anybody you know? Do you know of someone suffering from the illness of sin, which has infested every facet of their life? Have you seen them try to find a cure through different treatments, therapies, or drugs? Are they at a point where they've heard about Jesus, but they're just unsure as to how can that Jesus guy really help me? There are countless people all around us who are praying, hoping, begging for some healing from the destruction taking place inside of them. Do you see them? More importantly, do you see them reaching out? Whether it is the first place people reach for or the last or someplace in the middle, people are constantly reaching out to the body of Christ. And when people genuinely engage with Christ's body for the first time, miracles happen. Check out verse 29. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. The bleeding in this verse refers to the source or the cause of her bleeding. The verbiage has been used to describe the origin of a spring. And why is that important? It's because Mark is communicating that reaching out to touch Jesus didn't just lead to symptomatic relief. She didn't just feel better. She was also washed clean. After 12 years of sickness, she had been healed. Yes, but that's not all. After 12 years of rejection and exclusion, now she was allowed back into the community. Jesus had made her new, and he had made her clean. And this was immediate. No gradual stoppage from a medical procedure. No to-do list to complete. In reaching out for Christ's body, this woman experienced a healing that nothing in this world could provide. Continues in Mark 5:30. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, this is the only story in the Bible that mentions a surge of power passing from Jesus to someone else. Upon initial reading, we might assume that Jesus' power comes and goes, that healing people drains him. It's almost like if you've seen Infinity Wars and you see Thanos, and he's like, he gets all the stones in the Infinity Gauntlet, he snaps his fingers, and you're like, oh, wow, he's all powerful, but he breaks the gauntlet, and then all of a sudden, he's drained. Sometimes we think that's how God operates. We think, whew, healed a bunch of people, I'm done. I'm going to go rest a bit because, you know, there's that thing. Is that how God operates? No. Does he put a quota on how many millennials are to be saved? And they're like, well, that's it for them. Nothing could be further from the truth because God is all-powerful. God isn't worn out with when a revival breaks out in your community. But he celebrates every soul that reaches out to him in faith. But check out the response of the disciples to Jesus' question. Mark 5:31. "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" Sometimes as followers of Christ, we're just that. Sometimes we want to sit back. We want to watch Jesus' hands work instead of being his handiwork. We are followers when we are supposed to be his body, the church. There's a definite difference. At this point, I think it's important to bring out the context of the when and the where this story is actually taking place. When you go back to Mark 5:24, we see that a large crowd followed Jesus and pressed around him. Why? Because Jesus was actually on his way to answer the request from a powerful ruler from the synagogue whose daughter was deathly ill. See, Jesus was on his way to do something for somebody with influence. And this man's name was Jairus. See, Jairus was the chief operating official at the local synagogue. This meant that he oversaw the usage of the building, and he also coordinated the details of the services. That's a lot of responsibility for one person, and lots of people knew him. In the same way with our lifestyles, we are called to do important things with our lives. At Outlook, we don't just simply say connect, grow, serve, and go because it's catchy, but because those words are how we are called to live on a daily basis. As a follower of Jesus, there is no option as to whether or not we should do incredible supernatural things. This is supposed to be our automatic lifestyle. But while doing those amazing things for God's creation, we are also to stop and see what Christ desires for us to celebrate along the way. And unfortunately, we struggle. And many times, instead of being God's handiwork, we step back and just want to watch his hands work. In one of the commentaries I read about this passage, I was struck by a quote from a 19th century author and evangelist, a guy named Dr. George Campbell Morgan, who stated, "Jesus knows the difference between the jostle of a curious mob and the touch of a soul in agony." This quote leads to a powerful question. It's a question I think we all have to wrestle with and ask ourselves routinely with brutal honesty. Why do you go to church? See, there's a difference between coincidentally bumping into Jesus on your way through life and intentionally stepping out in faith to connect with him, even in a small, uncertain manner. When we fail to understand the context of Scripture, we fail to see the true power of Jesus Christ. And when we fail to understand the context God has called us to be within this world, we fail to live out the true calling Christ has commanded us to live. We see those big commands as optional. And while we are preoccupied attempting to bump into Jesus, there are physically and spiritually sick people in this world who want to reach out and touch him. And sometimes we as his followers have hoarded him to ourselves so much that those sick people think he doesn't even care. Jesus, in his all-powerful awesomeness, had other plans, as we can see in verses 32 and 33. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. See, Jesus doesn't just want to heal people. He wants his people to stop and see their stories. Being all powerful, Jesus says, hey, everybody, stop. Something awesome happened, and we're going to stop, celebrate, and give some glory to God here. The question was not asked out of ignorance or frustration, but so people could stop and see what God did through this woman's story. He asked for the woman's benefit. He wanted to bring loving and celebratory attention to the faith of a woman who had reached out and touched him. So you and Christians all around this planet are having a supernatural impact on children, on students, and the marginalized. Maybe it's the international work that you've done on a trip. Maybe it is when you went to Africa, or you went to Europe, or you went to Central or South America. Thank you for being the body of Christ. Maybe it's the local stuff you're doing at Post and 42nd or IPS 105. If that's you, thank you for being the body of Christ. If you're serving here at church, whether it's for kids, whether it's with students, whether it's behind the scenes, whether it's visiting shut-ins, thank you for being the body of Christ. If you're a police officer, let's just call this for what it is. On a daily basis, you get up, put a Kevlar vest on, not knowing anything of what's going to come flying at you, whether it's a bad attitude, a car, or a bullet. If that is you, all I can say is thank you for being the body of Christ. And if you're a teacher, man, that's a calling. Put 25, 30 kids in a room and say, let's teach you about something, but please stay off your phones. Yeah, that's insane. I don't know how you do it. You're incredible. But each and every morning, you get up and you simply say, I want to show the loving, incredible creation of God, whether that be in biology, whether that be in physics, whether that be in psychology, whether that be through civics and economics, mathematics, history, whatever it is. If you are a teacher, thank you for sacrificing and being the body of Christ. You guys aren't the only ones. One of the cool aspects of Student Sunday that I just absolutely love is the chance that students get to come and share what Christ is doing, maybe through you or through the global church. And so at this moment, I would like to invite Dakota, Aiden, and Jenna to come up and share their stories.
Thank you. Not one person at a time, everyone would pray at the same time. So imagine a room full of 200, maybe 300 people all praying out loud at the same time. It was really overwhelming, and I admit that I didn't get much praying done during this time. Instead, I started listening to the singers on stage and what they were praying about. All of them were praying for a closer relationship with the Lord. Every single one was praying about his beauty and his holiness. They thanked God that they had the relationship they did with him. Everything that they would say was positive and selfless. I didn't realize how cool this was until I got back home and continued praying the way I usually pray. I'm very guilty of asking God for things. I feel like whenever I pray, I'm always asking him for something. I began to feel almost further away from God after the trip than I did before it. I was super confused on why God was telling me no to everything I seemed to ask for. Whether that was getting a bad grade on a test, or God saying no to a new friendship or relationship in my life. I was really frustrated for a while because I felt like God just wasn't listening. That is when I remembered back to the trip and how everyone on stage was praying so selflessly. How is it that people who have so little could also pray or ask for so little? They weren't praying for things that they wanted, let alone things that they needed. They were praying about things that mattered. I started to think, if they can do this, why can't I? So I started praying better. My relationship with God grew so much stronger, and I learned, and I'm still learning today, to be satisfied with the love of God and not the temporary things here on earth. Psalms 37:4 says, "Seek your happiness in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires." Thank you.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Aiden Weinkoff, and I'm a freshman at Lawrence North High School. So I'm going to change this up a little bit. So I don't really need, like, specific answers, but just kind of think to yourself, if there was one person in your life who helps you become a better person, who gets you closer to God, who would that person be? You know, to some people, it's their sister, their brother, their mom, their dad, their husband, their wife. It can be lots of people. To me, it's my best friend. Now, I depend on my best friend for pretty much anything. She helps me through just about anything. I know some people would say their moms. To me, as a teenager, when my mom tells me to do something or that I'm doing something wrong, I don't like it. You know, not that she's doing something wrong, not that she's being rude. I don't like when she tells me what to do. That might be my bad. Then at the same time, when my best friend says exactly what my mom says to me, I listen to her. Again, I don't get it. So basically, my best friend is there. She's at my high school, so she helps me at school, obviously. But she's also a Christian, so she helps me be a person of God. That deals with just how I interact with people. I'm a very defensive person. Just a quick little story, about a week ago, so towards the beginning of school, I was in lunch. I was at the lunch line. Usually when you go through the lunch line, the lunch ladies, you know, say, thank you, you're good, you can go something. What this lunch lady did was she looked straight at me, she put in my code, and she didn't say a word. She didn't say anything to me. So I go to my table, and I'm mad. I'm like, okay, I don't like that lunch lady, I'm never going back to that line. I hate that lunch lady, how dare she? I didn't do anything to her. Abby pointed out that as a Christian, I cannot hate people. I can't say that I hate people. It's not how Jesus goes about his business. Basically, we have to love everybody no matter what they do to us. No matter if they're a Christian, no matter if they're Muslim, no matter what they are, we don't see that kind of thing. We just care about them and want them to believe in God. So, you know, to me, she is someone who just helps me in my daily life that I depend on. So just, you know, as you go about your daily life, just kind of think, who's that one person who helps you, who makes you a better person, who gets you closer to God, and definitely, you know, tell them that you love them for what they do and that you care about them very much. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name's Jenna. I'm a junior at Mount Vernon High School right now, and many of you may know me because I've gone to this church starting about, like, 2 years ago or so. And let me tell you, it was not my first choice. It wasn't really on my bucket list to, like, get involved in church and stuff, because I never really, like, was into that, and I had, like, bad experiences at previous churches and all that. And me and my best friend Maya, we were cheerleaders at the time, and we were like, hey, the school musical is coming on, maybe we should try something new and get involved. And so we just decided to try out, and it actually worked out really well, and we made a lot of friends. And one of the people in it actually attended this church. And one day she said, hey, would you like to come with me to service? And so, of course, us being like, oh, yeah, sure, if you want me to, kind of thing, then we came. And I actually really liked it, so I decided to come back another week, and I liked that one, so I just kept coming back and coming back. And then I really started liking the sermons that Mitch gave to us and, like, the people there, so I started coming to some of the extra activities and stuff, such as, like, Clarity and D Group and all that. And then I heard that there was a job opening, and I was like, this is a perfect opportunity for me to, like, get involved more with the church and get to know people here. So I applied and got the job, and I really loved going here. So about a year or so passed, and it came to last September, and everything was really going great because I had cheerleading, track, musical theater. Like, my life was going pretty slow. And then my mom got diagnosed with an aneurysm. It was supposed to be an overnight stay, and little did I know, I would be called out of school early, going to the hospital to find out an artery was cut in her brain. It caused her to be half paralyzed on her side and a stroke, and it was a very scary experience because that night I nearly lost my mother. And through that time, we watched her go through rehab and try to get better and everything, and I realized I was going to have to start, like, giving up some things to take care of her, and it was a really scary new experience. I started wondering myself, like, why does God do these bad things to people who don't deserve it? Like, everything was going great, and then out of nowhere, things just changed in a snap. And so when I went to church, I started praying more, and I started, like, looking to God, and I started, like, growing closer to him. And I felt like every time I walked into that sermon, Mitch was just speaking directly to me through God. And it was a really crazy experience. And right when I thought things were getting a little bit better, my mom actually had a problem with her eye contacts and almost entirely went blind. So she had to have a whole operation thing for that, and it was also very scary. And so through all of that, I realized how blessed all of us are, and we really need to pay attention to the things we have in our life and really praise God for everything that we have, because he does everything for a reason, and I know I am stronger because of it. Thank you.
The body of Christ, the family, works in incredible ways. Christ is using this church family not to just do incredible things, but to do supernatural things. There are many people who are stepping up and serving locally, nationally, and internationally. Maybe you've never really known what it means to be part of a church family. Maybe even just a family. And if that's the case, if that's where you're at, and if that's your story, I would really encourage you to just fill out the connection card so we can discuss what that really looks like and what it means to be part of a church family that cares for you, regardless of where you're at in your story. To my fellow Outlookers, I ask, who do you see reaching out to Christ's body? Where have you seen the sick, unclean world reaching out for the church? More personally, where have you seen the sick and the unclean world reaching out to you as part of Christ's body? See, Mark 5:34, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." The word used here for daughter is an affectionate family term. And this is the only time we hear Jesus use it. In this amazing miracle, he simply pours the attention back to the story of how this woman's faith has healed her and made her clean again. Jesus points all glory to where it is due, the glory of God. And in doing so, welcomes a former outcast into the eternal family. And it happened because she courageously reached out to Christ's body. Jesus had a mission to proclaim the good news that he had come to save the sick, unclean world from its sinful destruction. And that is a huge task. And yet, in the midst of the hustle and the chaos of the crowd, Jesus alone stopped to point out the faithful story of a woman the rest of society had written off. Are we being the body of Christ? Are we stopping to see what Christ is doing within us as his followers? Are we stepping up to serve as the body of Christ. At Outlook, we desire to see everyone take their next step to connect, grow, serve, and go. So what is your next step? There are tons of ways that you can connect so we can hear what God has placed in your heart. If you have a heart for students and would like to serve in some way, that's why there's a yellow piece of paper on your chair. If you have a skill set, whether that's being up front, whether that's relational, whether that's behind the scenes, if there's something that is moving you to check a box, check it and let's talk. But if that's not your skill set and that's not where you feel the Holy Spirit's tug, I would still encourage you to just turn that over. And in the blank space, just write a prayer or a note of encouragement to communicate to our students that you genuinely care for them as members of this family. And you can just drop that in the offering bucket or you can put it in one of the steel towers on your way out. If you're sensing God's tug on you to serve in a different ministry, there's My First Serve cards at the Connection Center that you can fill out so that ministry leaders can reach out to you so that you can check out some of the different ministries, whether it's children's ministry, whether it's connections ministry, whether it's working locally or in the mission field. We would love to have those conversations with you. Maybe you're hearing the call of Jesus to you. Maybe in this moment, with the crowd stopped, maybe the Holy Spirit is calling you forward to share your story. If that is you, we would love, again, for you to just fill out that communication card in your bulletin so that we can hear your story and we can celebrate your story together. Or maybe you're at a place where you've tried anything and everything to numb the symptoms and impact of sin, but now, maybe you realize that Jesus is the only person who can save you from sin's incurability. If that's the case, once again, we want to talk to you. We want to relate to you. Whether that's you tracking me down after the service so we can have that conversation, or whether that's checking down on the connection card what your phone number is or your address so that we can follow up and have that conversation, we desire for you to meet Jesus personally. My prayer is for us to not only be like him in the big tasks, but that we would also be like him in how we stop and see what he's doing in our midst, and that we will answer his call to step up and serve those who are desperately reaching for the healing that only God can provide through the all-powerful name of Jesus Christ. So right now, in response, we have this opportunity to come to the Lord's table and celebrate communion. It's where we remember the price Jesus paid with his broken body and his shed blood. We remember what he did to pay the penalty for sin and to communicate that he truly is our Lord. When you are ready, you know, there are tables around the auditorium where you're able to take the elements of bread and juice and worship, and come to him in humility and honesty with the ability to say, okay, I'm ready to step up and serve. Let's pray. God, in this moment, we thank you for how you've challenged us to grow. We thank you for how you call for us to not just simply sit back and watch, to not just let